Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
Idly hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome into another episode of The Brett Allen Show. A pop culture podcast where we interview your favorite actors from film and television, music, comedy, and more. Wherever pop culture is, you will find me hanging out there waiting to talk to somebody amazing. And today is a huge episode. I've been looking forward to this and working on this for quite some time. We are talking to actor Jocko Sims. That is right. You heard us correctly. You don't need to hit the rewind button. Who plays Dr. Reynolds on the NBC hit New Amsterdam. We have a lot of things to talk about, but Jocko, first, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Brett. Good to be here with you.
Yes, well, I know you've had a busy day, so we will jump right in. This season has been, well, all the seasons are incredible, but this one in particular just started out with a bang, I will tell you. And last week, you left us all on a cliffhanger, so we are excited to see what this week is all about. And the title of the show this week is Same As It Ever Was, and a lot of things are happening. And from what I understand, what we can talk about, of course, we're dealing with Max and Sharp that have told us that they're moving, which is, if that wasn't enough to get people shaken up, but also a lot of other things happening. But let's talk about your character and sort of the genesis or the synopsis of this and how you sort of created this multi-layer character on the show.
Well, I would first have to start with the fact that this show is based in a reality. It's based on a true story. It was a book written by Dr. Eric Mannheimer called Life and Death at Bellevue, 12 patients, Life and Death at Bellevue Hospital. And Bellevue Hospital is a hospital here in New York City. It is the oldest public hospital in America. It's so old, it's older than America. So our founding felt that it was important to have a medical facility of some sort before we declared our independence. And it was, it is still actually a state-of-the-art hospital. If the president of the United States falls ill, that's where they send him. If there's a courthouse inside the hospital in case they have to deal with some legal cases and help a patient or some sort of interesting case right away, there's a school inside the building, there's a jail inside the building. And so this is like a mini city. And David Schulner, the creator of our show, felt that this was something that would make a great series. And most importantly, because it was dealing with healthcare, which is something that clearly now we all know is very important, and have these conversations that were things that would get people talking at their dining room tables. And we've done that and then some. So I first got to meet with Dr. Norma Keller, who is the head cardiologist at Bellevue Hospital. And I picked her brain for a little bit. I drew from that a little bit because I play initially the head of the cardiac surgical department at New Amsterdam. And that was sort of the beginning of that. And I'll tell the story all the time, how I have been fascinated with the idea of being a doctor. In fact, I thought I was going to be a doctor. I had a medical symbol on my high school ring. I was really into school. And then I got to college and I said, you know what? I don't want to be in school for the next 12 years. So I took an acting course. I took theater, started studying that, got my BA in theater. And I think I was working 15 years professionally before I finally landed that doctor role. And here we are, Dr. Reynolds on New Amsterdam.
Yeah, very convincing, by the way. And I had known that it was based on an actual hospital. I didn't know all of the extensive details, but interestingly enough, it's this whole storyline, this whole show is amazing because I think as far as medical shows go, it's really at the tip of the iceberg, because it doesn't just, it's not another medical procedure show, you know, where patients come in and you guys treat them and there's a little bit of a life lesson. What, you know, I'm not mocking any of that, by please listeners don't come after me. But do you know what I mean? Like, you actually try and help people, like the courthouse, or there's the whole psychological side of things. There's your involvement with people's lives, including your character, just really carry people from tip to tail as far as the storyline. And of course, there's all the other things that we get as well. But it's amazing. So before we go on, I have to digress just a little bit, because you wanted to be a doctor, but then you took an acting class. So help us a little bit somewhere in there. Where was it at what point did you just, it snapped for you? And you're like, this is it for me. Like, I'm doing this the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, but my mom tried to push me to take art classes of all kinds, literally art. There was also music. She encouraged me to join band school and take theater. And I just was so resistant. I just didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do seriously. But I don't know. Well, the first thing that happened once I got to school, attempting to think what my, you know, you have to declare a major. There's no doctor major, you know, it's probably a major in some sort of science. I did love physics. But again, I got to school and I'm just like, my heart was telling me, and not that I wasn't interested in still the doctor aspect of life, but I just didn't want to do school for that. And I was great. I was in the top 5% of my class. I was the president of a Spanish club. I was a National Honor Society straight A student. So I didn't struggle with it. I just was done. So, but it was important still for me to get an education. And I got my BA in theater. But had it not been, I would say I would give credit to the faculty. I did 1 year at University of Houston. I went and they embraced me with open arms. That's something I didn't expect, because I thought I should have had that background. I didn't feel like an actor. I didn't feel like I deserved to go to college and join these classes because it wasn't something I expressed interest in before. But they were just so excited to have me and say welcome and gave me a tour of the theater. And I took some classes and I was like, this was it. And then I 5 years later, because I'd studied it for 5 years, I finished up at UCLA. I went on my first audition, prepared all that time for this first audition. And I booked it. And wow. Then I booked my second one. And it didn't always go like that. It was definitely some lows in this journey. But that was an indication that this is something that I should probably stick with for a while.
There you go. They say if you do something that you love, you never work another day in your life. And I think that's true, whether it be with acting or podcasting or whatever the case might be. It's obviously safe to say things worked out quite well to get a reoccurring major role on a television show. Well, first of all, to book something straight out of the gate is huge, especially, you know, for anybody starting out, but then to come this far and work hard. And I think that's important for our listeners and viewers to understand, is that what you're doing now is representative of 20, however many years of hard work to get where you are, and to make it look so easy and convincing, I think, too. An overnight success that's taken 20 plus years to get.
That's close. Yeah.
Where you're at. So let's talk about this week's episode, because we mentioned a little bit earlier on that there's a lot happening. But from what we know, this week gets intense. I think every week is intense, but you guys keep it lighthearted and fun with the music, and everything just moves so quickly. But I understand we've got some gunshot type activities happening this week, and your character starts to get a little bit overwhelmed with things. This is what we do know and what I've been told we can talk about. So let's talk about these moments where you have to get into these very intense situations, where you've had very remarkable moments in the series, where you've even gotten personally involved with people that you're encountering in the storyline. How do you approach that when you get a script? And this week definitely sounds intense, but you've had a lot of other intense moments as well. What is like the process it takes for you to mentally prepare to to deal with some of the things that you deal with as a character?
You know, I was really excited about this one early on because I got a text from the writer of this episode, Aaron Ginsberg, who's one of our writer producers, and he's just brilliant and so fun. And he said, I've got one coming up that's for you. You're going to love it. And that could mean anything, you know, on this.
I know, right? Who knows what that means, really?
Right. And it definitely did not turn out to be a happy subject, per se, but something that he knew that I would love to sink my teeth into. And yes, you know, this show, as you mentioned, we like to tap into the reality of the state of the country. And in this country, we do have a gun violence problem. And this episode explores that a bit. And, you know, Reynolds tends to take some of this a little bit to heart. And it reminded me of myself in that. You know, I sometimes, and I'm sure all of us have at some point through this pandemic and through this the horrible racism and this and gun violence and mass shootings, we just ask why, you know, why does it have to be? And it can get depressing sometimes. So this episode explores that a bit, and it's very interesting. It's eye-opening, and it's just one of the reasons that I love this show, because they're not afraid to tackle any subject, and they get into your psyche and make you think about things, and also at times they try to come up with solutions and present solutions and to inspire the audience to take action. You know, at times. So this is a fun one for me. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm waiting for it to show up tonight. I watch this. I watch a lot of shows usually after they've been recorded, just because I'm a single dad and I'm busy. But tonight will be a night where this is a great show. And to have you on here and to just talk about these conversations openly is a big deal for us. So again, thank you. Your character has just kind of experienced a lot, and you have created him in such a way where he does oftentimes find himself taking things on personally, perhaps maybe getting himself into situations that are kind of interesting and precarious at times. So it's fantastic, but at the end of the day, when people have a chance to watch New Amsterdam, as an artist, as an actor, do you have a hope that people will walk away from when they watch this outside of being entertained? Or are you one to say, you know, let's let the audience kind of decide the morality or the space that they should find themselves in after watching this series from the beginning, or even perhaps maybe episode to episode?
Yeah, no, I just I stick with just be entertained. And I honestly believe that David Schoner, a creator of our show, and all the writers, even though it may feel to the contrary sometimes, I don't think they set out to go, let's hit them over the head with this, or let's educate them on this, or let's enlighten them on this. It's just when you're telling a story such as this and you're dealing with real people in a real setting in today's world, that's where you're led. That's where the story takes you. And, you know, if Max comes in and fires an entire department like he did in season one, the cardiac surgical department, and Reynolds is tasked to restaff it. And, you know, he's a Black man. He's an African-American. He's a person of color. And so when he's hiring people, or he's looking around and he noticed that 19% of surgeons are women, only 19%. And it's an interesting stat that hits him. So as he's rehiring and staffing up, he's hiring women first, you know, and it's just kind of naturally what you do or in speak of. And it's interesting because people of color, women, and other minorities, people with disabilities, they're being recognized in a way that you don't see often on shows. And again, I didn't see that coming when we started this out, but boy, has it been great. It's been educational for me. I'll read a stat and see it in the script and hit up the writer and say, is this true? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what? And it's just that you know, that's priceless, that experience. And I hope that people out there are having similar moments, similar aha moments as well when they watch.
Yeah. I mean, if I recall, you all had set out to do an episode called Pandemic, I think, and then the real thing happened. And I don't know if that episode ever even made it to air. I know they kind of jumped ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show you that, like, you know, it's not like a bunch of writers sitting around in a room coming up with wacky ideas, you know, like, hey, let's talk about racism and gun violence this week. That'll really stick it to the view. And no, it's like you're dealing with like things that are happening in real time and situations potentially that anybody could find themselves in, you know, outside of maybe being a heart surgeon like yourself on the show or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
Very fascinating. I understand, too, next week is even more intense. Your storyline continues to just get even more crazy as things, as we all know, start to heat up with your on-screen relationship with Dr. Malvo or Frances Turner, who she's amazing as well. Wow, it's exciting to see what's going to happen. Is that as much as we can give, or what can we kind of hopefully maybe expect without spoiling anything, kind of as the weeks go on, watching your arc just mature and progress as, you know, or where do you hope to see the character go? And that might maybe be a better question.
As you were just talking to me about Reynolds and Malvo, our characters, I just thought of a very wild storyline that I want to pick. I don't know why, but because I was going to make a joke about something. But that, anyways, thank you for this conversation, because I'm going to pitch something to the writers. That's not to imply that our stories and the ones we have coming up are not wild enough, because, as you know, Reynolds is in this crazy entanglement at work, we like to call it, where he's involved with this woman who whose husband is Reynolds' boss. How sounds crazy. How he and got in there, I think Reynolds oftentimes would question himself. How did he get here? Well, and next week's episode, there will be a change of some sort. There will be There will be an interesting conversation that sort of pushes this relationship forward in a way that it could be towards ending it or towards doing something to prolong it. But there will be some advancement of some sort. I can't give you more than that.
Well, in my mind, I'm already thinking about what that could possibly be, but that's okay. You know, and I think that, you know, it's just that right side of my brain that's thinking about, well, eventually someone's going to have to find out about something, and it's either going to be this side or the other. But we will have to wait till October 12th. This week's episode is entitled Same As It Ever Was, tonight on NBC. Next week, Seed Money, October 12th. Excited to see how this show moves on. One last question, really quick. This was a fan question that we pulled from our Facebook group.
Let's do it.
Has Jocko Sims ever considered, I want to make sure I get this right, curating his very own Spotify playlist for what Dr. Reynolds listens to in the operating room while he's performing surgery?
I am in love with that question. And no, I have not until now. Do we have a name of that fan?
At New Amsterdam Eggold Lover 7 or something from Twitter.
One of those mini Sharkwind / New Amsterdam fans. I love them. They are so supportive of us, and I'm not surprised that they would come up with such a great question. I am going to hop on that and I will get back to you. I need to create a playlist, a Jocko Sims created, curated playlist. That's really.
I'm telling you, he listens to some great music. This has been a lot of fun. We're talking New Amsterdam. We've been chatting with Jocko Sims. Special thank you to NBC Publicity for setting this up. Isabel, and of course, Leslie Schwartz. Jocko, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.